This morning I want to preach a message entitled, In the Master's Hand, In the Master's Hand. You know, if I took a basketball this afternoon and went out here on the parking lot and we had a game of basketball, it would be worth about $40, because that's what the basketball cost. But if we went to the palace and saw the Chauncey Phillips or Kobe Bryant play, it would be worth more than, a lot more than $40. I think that I haven't been in a long time. They may charge you that much to get in, one person. But it would be a lot more. And you say, well, what's the difference? How come it's only worth $40 if you take the basketball out here, and yet we go see those two guys, and they'll literally hundreds of thousands of dollars for people to pay to see them come and play? Well, it's because they're masters at that sport. If we took a baseball bat and went out on the lot this afternoon and had a game of baseball, again, it would probably be worth about $25, because nobody would come to see us play. The only people that would be there would be those that are playing. And yet up in Minneapolis, I think that's where the Tigers are playing this afternoon, and there's people like Maglio Ordonez who, and others, and there'll be hundreds, literally hundreds and thousands of dollars spent for people to come and see them play baseball. What's the difference? They are masters of the game. A golf club, in my hand, is a comedy. I mean, I've only played one time, and I shot 150. True, Pete, this is true. 150 for 9 holes. And I only counted half my strokes. And my uncle, who had a heart attack a couple weeks after that, I've often wondered if it was related, gave me some advice and said, you never, ever need to play this game again. And I haven't. And so a golf club in my hands is worth nothing. And yet, put it in the hands of Tiger Woods, and it's worth millions and millions of dollars. Why? He's a master. Now again, just some examples to set the stage for my message. You see, what makes a difference is whose hand the basketball or the baseball bat or the golf club is in. If it's in the hand of a master, it makes a difference. This morning I want to ask the question, whose hands are you in? Whose hands are your life in? Whose hands hold your talents? Whose hands hold your marriage? Whose hands hold your children? Whose hands hold the opportunities that God has given to you? Again, my time is short this morning. I want to make 3 points, and so I'd ask you to listen. Number one, I want to be a master with those opportunities that God has given me. I know I'm never going to be a master at basketball, but I want to be a master as a preacher. I know I'll never be a master at playing baseball, but I want to be a master when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll never be a master with a golf club. In fact, I read a story a couple of days ago about a golfer, not a professional golfer, but a golfer, and he hit 6 straight balls into the pond. And he got so mad, they took his bag of golf clubs and he heaved them into the pond. And he stalked off. He left. And a few minutes later, he came back. He took his shoes and his socks off. He waded into the pond, picked up the bag, pulled down a little zipper, got his car keys out of the bag, threw the thing back in the pond, and left. Now, I'll never be a golfer. I'll never be a master golfer. But I want to be a master at the opportunities that God has given me. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good preacher and a good pastor. But if I try to do those things myself, if I leave those things in my hands, I realize that I will never be a master. I'll be a good of husband or a good of father or a good of preacher and a good of pastor as I will be a golfer. I will fail. Because if I keep those things in my hands and don't put them in the master's hands, I have no chance of succeeding. And the same thing is true about every single person in this room. And that's why I asked the question to start out with. Whose hands is your marriage in? Whose hands are your children in? Whose hands is your profession in? Whose hands is your life in? And my point this morning is if we keep them in our hands, we will fail. But if we bring them to the Master, if we bring them to Jesus, and we let Him put His hands around ours, we can become masters of everything that God has given us. In fact, that's my point number two. I cannot become a master at anything until I place those opportunities and those things that God has given me in His hands. Let's say that I did want to learn how to play golf. And again, it's a hopeless cause, and I'm not going to waste any time trying to do it. But this day as an example, let's say I wanted to learn how to do it. If I went and I went to a golf course and hooked up with a golf pro, he could teach me some things. He could teach me how to swing. He could teach me how to stand. He could teach me how to keep my head down and all that other stuff that you guys that are golfers know a whole lot more about than I do. And the same thing. If I wanted to learn how to play baseball and I could hook up with a baseball coach, that coach could give me guidance. That coach could tell me how to stand and how to swing and how to keep my head. Same thing with the basketball. I could learn some things from a basketball coach. But you know what the problem is with me oftentimes and with many of you oftentimes? It's like we're playing basketball with Chauncey Phillips, and he's there, and he wants to give us some instruction, and we say to Chauncey Phillips, hey, I can do this myself. I know how to shoot the basketball, and I know how to make a basket, and I know you play a little basketball, and I know you make a lot of money playing basketball, but I don't want your help. And in our Christian life, we're like that a lot. In our Christian life, God wants to give us instruction. He wants to show us how to live and how to conduct ourselves as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and children. And we say, hey, no, I think I know more about it than you do. And that's just as stupid as me telling a professional basketball player, I know more about it than you do. Let's say I wanted to play golf, and I hooked up with Tiger Woods, and Tiger Woods was standing me, and he was watching as I was, you know, getting ready to hit the club, and he started giving me advice, and I said, Tiger, don't worry about it. I know how to do this. That'd be an out-and-out lie. But I said, I know how to do this. You don't need to give me advice. Don't tell me how to stand. Don't tell me how to swing. I can handle this myself. And you would say, preacher, you're dumb. And you'd be right. I'd be dumb because there's a master at the game. He knows how to play it. He knows how to win. I don't know anything. And it would be dumb for me to ignore his advice. I read a story about a man that had a model, I think it was a Model A Ford. And he was out driving. And it broke down on the side of the road, like all Fords do sooner or later. No, I shouldn't have said that. But it broke down on the side of the road. And here comes another Model A Ford up behind it, and an old gray-haired man parks and gets out of the car. And he walks up to the young man that is under the hood at this point, and he said, can I help you with your car? And the young man looked over him, and here's what he thought. How can an old man help me with my car? And he said, nah, I know more about it than you do. Thanks for stopping, but I don't need your help. And that old man, by the way, his name was Henry Ford, got back in the car and drove off. And that's exactly what we do with God. He wants to help us. He wants to take the things that He's placed in our hands and help us. And we say, well, I know more about them than you do. I don't need your advice. I don't need your help. I just ask you this morning and remind you, who was it that created marriage? It was a man. I mean, the first marriage happened in the Garden of Eden for the first man and the first woman. It wasn't man that created marriage. It was God. So who do you think knows more about how it works, man or God? I would submit to you this morning that God knows more about how to make a marriage work than any man or any woman that's ever lived. He knows how to make it work. And he gives us a book full of instructions about how to make our marriages work. And yet we say, just like we might to Tiger Woods if he's trying to teach us how to play golf, I think I know more about it than you do. I've been a husband for 64 years, and I think I know more about marriage than you do. And God would say, hey, bud, I've been in this business for thousands of years. I know a little bit more than you do. Same thing when it comes to raising our kids. Who do you think knows more about kids than we do? I mean, the one that made children and the one that made mothers and fathers. God does. And he's given us a whole book of instructions about how to be the right kind of father and to be the right kind of mother. And we tell him, maybe we don't say it in words, but we tell him by our actions, by ignoring this book and ignoring the advice in this book, hey, God, I know more about it than you do. I mean, some of you have been parents for a long time, and you've gone through lots of experiences, and you ought to give advice to some younger parents that are just starting out in being parents. But you listen to me, there's a God in heaven that knows what it is, that knows what parents need to be, and knows what children need to be, and he gives us a whole book full of instruction and a whole book full of advice, and we would be better parents if we got into this book and paid attention to this book. Who do you think gave you your talents? Huh? Who do you think gave you the ability to sing and the ability to play and the ability to do the things that you do? It was God. He knows more than you do how he wants you to use them. He knows more than you do how they should be used and what would bring the most glory to him. And yet sometimes we stand back and we say, no, God, keep your hands off this part of my life. I know how to use my talents and I know how what to do with them. And God said, no, you don't. I made you. I gave you those talents. I put you in situations that you're in because I know how you want, I know how I want you to use them and how they should be used. Please just listen to me. And I think oftentimes up in heaven, God says that same thing. If they'd only listen, if they'd only pay attention. If they'd only put their lives and their marriages and their children and their homes and their opportunities and their talents in my hands. I remember when I was trying to teach Adam how to play baseball. He was about as coordinated as his dad. And I can remember when he was a real little boy and there was another neighborhood boy playing, pitching. And I said, okay, now, you know, hold your bat up there and keep your eye on the ball. When it comes, hit it. And he just wasn't getting it. He was missing every single one of them. And so I put my arms around him, and I put my hands on top of his hands. I said, now here's how we're going to do it. And the guy pitched it, and we hit it together. You know, that's exactly what God wants us to do. That's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to say, look, I don't know how to be the right kind of husband. I don't know how to be the right kind of wife. But I'll put my husbandhood or my wifehood in your hands, and you help me be what I need to be. I don't know how to be the right kind of dad. I don't know how to be the right kind of mom. But God, I know you do, and you'll teach me. Just put your arms around me and put your hands on top of my hands and show me what to do and how to do it. The rod in the hand of Moses was just a stick. But when Moses put that rod in God's hands, it became the finger of God. It parted the Red Sea, brought water out of a rock. It brought victory in battle, brought the plagues on Egypt, and delivered a nation from bondage. A lunch of a couple fish and five pieces of bread that that little boy brought that day in his hands was just a lunch, a small lunch. But when he put it in the hands of Jesus, it fed 5,000 men and women. Slingshot in the hand of David was a weapon because the Bible says that he'd used it to kill bears and lions. But when David put it in God's hands, it became a giant feller and delivered the nation of Israel from the Philistines. And you could go on down the list, and I don't have time to do it this morning, but you go down the list of the miracles in the Bible, things that God used people to do, and what you'll find are ordinary people that had ordinary things that put them in the hands of an extraordinary God and saw God do great and mighty things. And I want to tell you something this morning. Our God has not changed. He will still take ordinary people with ordinary things and do extraordinary miracles even today if we'll just put what we have in His hands. Number three, I want to place my soul's eternal destiny in the hands of a master Savior. I don't want to put my eternity, I don't want to keep it in my hands. There's nothing I can do to gain eternity. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, I try to live my life right, and I try to do what's right, and I try to be kind, and I try to treat other people like I want to be treated. I want to live by the golden rule. I want to be kind to people. But everything that I do, every work that I work, every kindness that I show, the Bible says in God's sight, it's filthy rags. There is nothing that I can do to work my way to heaven. I don't want to put my soul in the hands of others. I don't want to depend on another man. I don't depend on my grandma and my grandpa. My grandmas both were Christians. One of my grandpas was. They taught me a lot about God. One of my grandmothers was very instrumental in me getting saved. But I do not depend on my grandma this morning for heaven. I had a lot of good pastors when I was growing up, a lot of good preachers, but I depend, and one of them led me to the Lord. I mean, he took me back in his office and helped me pray and told me what I needed to say when I asked Jesus to be my Savior. But I am not depending on any of the pastors or preachers that I've known in the past to get me to heaven. I'm not depending on another man, because the Bible says there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. This morning, I am depending on the Master Savior. I am depending on the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am depending on the one that hung on the cross and paid for my sins. I am depending on the one that said to the thief that hung beside him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm depending on the one who sits at the right hand of God this morning as my advocate and reminds God that every one of my sins is under the blood that Jesus shed. And when I asked him to be my Savior, he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this morning, I am depending. My eternity depends not on me and not on any other person, but on the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now this morning, let me ask you, whose hands, not only is your life in, not only is your marriage in, not only is your parenthood in, not only is your talents in, I mean, but more important than all of that, whose hands is your eternity in? Huh? Whose hands are your eternity? If you're depending on what you can do, you're going to fail. And you will be separated from God forever. If you're depending on another person, if you're depending on a church, look, if you're depending on this church to get you to heaven, you and I need to talk, because this church can't get anybody to heaven. You can have your name on the roll of this church. You can get baptized in that baptistry. You can take communion like we did this morning, and that will in no way make you any fitter for heaven than living a good life. It won't. The only thing that makes you fit for heaven is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that this morning? Would you come and put your eternity in the Master's hands? Because He will save you. He'll save you. He'll do what you cannot do. He'll do what any other person cannot do. I mean, I could go, I don't even know if they're playing golf this weekend. I can go out and I can stand beside Tiger Woods. And I can swing just like he swings. And his ball will go 300 yards and mine will probably go 3 feet backwards. I've had that happen. So I'm not going to try to be a master golfer. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And I'm not going to depend on what I can do. And I'm not going to depend on what any other person can do. I'm going to depend on what Jesus already did. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to do the same thing. You need to depend on the finished work of the Savior on the cross. And you need to come and receive Him as your Savior this morning. I don't care Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've been here several times. Maybe you've been here a lot. Doesn't matter how many times you've come. What matters? Do you know Christ? If you don't know him, would you receive him this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for making the gospel so simple. Thank you for making it so available. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Christ, today would be the day. You tell us in your word, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I pray, Father, if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, today would be the day. Help them to see their sin, how that sin separates them from you. Help them to see the price that we pictured in the Lord's Supper a moment ago, where your son's body was broken and his blood was shed to pay not for any sin that he committed, because he was perfect, sinless, but to pay for every one of mine, to pay for every one of ours. And I pray, Father, that that one or two, however many's here that doesn't know Christ, would come and receive the gift of salvation that's offered to every single person. Help us not to depend on ourselves. Help us not to depend on others. Help us not to depend on a church. Help us to depend on the only one that works, Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.